Imagine handing a brand new intern your corporate credit card, the keys to your production database, and just telling them to, figure it out.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that sounds like a total disaster waiting to happen.
Right. But I mean, that is exactly what thousands of companies are doing this week with this huge new wave of AI agents. You're basically giving a probabilistic system the autonomy to just navigate your digital environment, spend your budget, and execute actions on behalf of your users.
Which is, it's a frankly terrifying prospect if you aren't prepared for it. I mean, we are really moving past the era where AI was just this novelty chatbot.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, these systems, they are now active participants in your business operations.
Well, welcome to the briefing. You are tuned in to OpenClaw Daily by Tom Fraser. Today's deep dive is OpenClaw Daily by Tom Fraser, agent release brief, plain English explainability and cost governance watch list, key launches, why they matter, and tactical next moves.
Dylan and Claudia.
It's a mouthful, but we have a lot to cover. We really do. And our mission today is to deliver a super crisp, hype-free briefing tailored specifically for you, the executives, the builders, and the operators out there in the trenches. We're decoding this massive recent wave of AI agent releases, kind of taking them out of the realm of, research demos and looking at them as production-grade APIs.
And setting the tone for you right away. This is definitely not about AI hype.
Yeah, no hype here.
Exactly. It's about protecting your product outcomes, guarding your budgets, and really maintaining your users' trust while navigating this major shift. We have to look at the actual operational reality of what vendors just shipped to developers.
So let's start with that shift, right? Up until recently, we were dealing with what we generally call stateless prompts. I type a question, the model gives me an answer, and that interaction is just over.
Right, one and done.
Exactly. But these new vendor releases, they're pushing agents as these packaged capabilities. So what does that actually look like under the hood for a product team today?
Well, the defining change here is automated orchestration. So previously, if you wanted an AI to perform, like a multi-step task, your engineering team had to write a massive amount of incredibly fragile glue code.
Oh, yeah, just endless scripts holding it together.
Exactly. You had to manually tell the system, take this output, format it, send it to this other API, wait for the response,
Yeah.
and then summarize it. It was exhausting.
Right.
But now the vendors have basically absorbed that glue code. The agent just decides on its own to call external tools, chain multiple actions together, and even schedule follow-ups without any human intervention at all.
I mean, moving from a standard LLM prompt to an agent, it's sort of like upgrading from a drive-through window where you place one order, you get one bag.
Right, yeah.
And now you're basically handing a personal assistant your credit card and your house keys, and you're just trusting them to run your errands all day.
That is exactly what it is. Let's ground that in a realistic scenario, right? Imagine you're building a healthcare app and a user types, I need to get my knee checked next week.
Okay, pretty standard request.
Yeah, and under the old model, the AI might just, reply with a list of available doctors. But under this new agent model, the system possesses active memory and full multimodal capabilities.
So it's looking at everything.
It really is. It looks at the user's historical chat logs to remember, oh, which knee was injured last year? It pulls up their insurance card image to verify network coverage. It queries your internal scheduling API, maybe sees a conflict, queries it again for an alternative, and then it officially books an MRI.
It just does all of that in the background.
All of it, yeah.
That is wild. And the integration friction for that kind of magic has just plummeted, right? Developers can now implement that with a standard API call.
Pretty much.
But I've got to be honest, handing over the keys to let it chain all those actions together makes me incredibly nervous. If the agent is doing all this looping and querying in the background, how do we know why it shows a specific clinic? Or worse, like what happens if it hallucinates halfway through the process?
Right. And that is the structural flaw in autonomous chaining, because chaining actions inherently increases the opportunity for compounding errors.
Compounding errors,
Yeah.
yeah.
If step one, interpreting the injuries slightly wrong, then step two searches the wrong medical database entirely.
Oh, wow.
And by step four, the agent is executing a highly sensitive action based on total fiction. And because this all happens autonomously in the background, these bugs aren't just, you know, a simple line of broken code you can find in a stack trace.
Which brings us right into this plain English explainability mandate, because I'm looking at the regulatory reality hitting the industry right now. You know, things like the EU AI Act or specific sectoral guidings in finance and healthcare.
You're getting strict.
Extremely. You can't just tell an auditor, well, the AI booked the wrong state for the MRI because it felt like it, you know?
No, they will not accept that.
Obviously not. You need a human-readable justification.
Yeah.
But how do we actually trace a black box like that?
Well, vendors are starting to roll out what we call explainability primitives. They aren't perfect yet, but they're a start. The most critical one is a step-level reasoning output.
Okay, wait. I want to pause there for a second. What does a step-level reasoning output actually look like? Are we talking about, like, raw code here, or is the AI explaining its feelings?
It's not feelings, thankfully. It's essentially a structured log of the agent's internal dialogue.
Okay.
So the system outputs a JSON file that says, you know, goal, find clinic, action taken, query database for clinics within 10 miles, result, 3 clinics found, decision, filter by network coverage.
I see. So it walks you through it.
Exactly. And alongside that, vendors are providing provenance metadata. So this is like a stamp that identifies exactly which model version down to the specific day it was trained and which specific tool was invoked for that exact micro action.
Okay, but wait, in a healthcare app, that internal dialogue might contain protected health information. I mean, if the agent is thinking out loud about a patient's medical history, we can't just dump that raw internal dialogue into a standard compliance dashboard, can we?
No, you absolutely cannot do that. Which is why vendors are also offering what they call redacted chains of thought.
Oh, okay. How does that work?
So the system maintains the raw logical flow for secure execution on the back end, but it uses a secondary parallel scrubbing process. And that strips out personally identifiable information before it ever hits your observability platform.
So it hides the sensitive stuff.
Right. It replaces something like John Doe's knee surgery with just, you know, bracket redacted medical event bracket.
I mean, I have a major concern with that, though.
Yeah.
If we are relying on a secondary LLM process to generate a sanitized plain English Y summary for the user or the auditor, aren't we risking a massive cover-up?
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
Right, because if the summarizer decides to omit a messy step, or maybe it hides the fact that the agent actually had low confidence about the insurance network just to make the audit logs sound professional, doesn't that actually increase our legal liability? It kind of feels like we are letting the agent grade its own homework.
That is a critical vulnerability. And actually, the source material explicitly warns about this exact danger. A plain English explanation must be an accurate reflection of the raw mechanics.
Right. It has to be the truth.
Exactly. If your summary glosses over a hallucinated step, it creates a total false sense of security. The moment a regulatory body audits the raw execution logs and finds a discrepancy between that nice, sanitized summary and the actual chaotic chain of events,
you're in trouble.
You are legally on the hook for misrepresentation.
Wow. The friction here is just incredible because tracking every sub-step and verifying all these scrubbed summaries, it isn't just a compliance headache, it is an engineering nightmare.
Yes, it is.
And if we are tracing and storing every single thought this agent has, that just sounds wildly expensive.
Oh, it completely shatters traditional billing assumptions. We really have to look at the hidden financial dangers here because the CFO is going to be the first person screaming when these agents actually go live.
I can imagine.
Right, because under the old paradigm, a user typed a prompt, the model generated an answer, and you paid, what, a fraction of a cent for those tokens.
Right, one query, one cost.
Exactly.
Let me bring back a taxi analogy here just to make this tangible. It used to be a simple point A to point B ride, but now it's like leaving the meter running on a taxi while the driver goes inside three different stores for you, realizes one is closed, drives to a fourth, and then finally comes back to the car.
That's a great way to look at it.
The distance didn't really change. The user only asked for one thing, but the bill is suddenly 5 times higher.
I would actually take that analogy a step further.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, imagine if the taxi driver also charges you a daily subscription fee just to remember where you live.
Oh, wow.
Because persistent memory storage creates this steady state baseline cost. To have an agent that remembers a user's preferences across different sessions, you have to use a vector database.
Right.
So every single time the user says hello, the agent has to compute similarity scores and search through that massive, high-dimensional filing cabinet of past interactions just to establish context.
Before it even does anything useful.
Exactly. You were paying for compute and storage before the agent even starts solving the new problem.
I mean, if product teams are used to linear API costs, this is going to totally blindside them. So for the operators tuning in, what is the exact watch list? Like, what metrics do they need to put on their dashboards tomorrow morning so they don't bankrupt the company?
Okay, so over the next quarter, you need to shift your metrics entirely. Stop looking at tokens per prompt. You need to monitor tokens per session.
Tokens per session. Okay.
Yeah. And you also need a dashboard tracking model, calls per user action.
Mm.
If a user clicks book appointment and the agent makes 15 back-end calls to figure it out, that is a massive red flag.
Right. That shouldn't happen.
And finally, you need to track the proportion of user sessions that actually invoke external tools, because those tool invocations are where the highest latency and the highest costs occur.
And speaking of latency, what are the operational sirens? Like, what are the signals that an agent has just gone completely rogue in the background?
You really want to watch for latency spikes tied to those subcall chains. So if a normally fast triage response suddenly takes like 12 seconds, the agent might just be stuck in a reasoning loop.
A loop, like it keeps trying the same thing.
Exactly. Repeatedly calling a tool, failing, and trying again, and billing you for every single attempt.
Oh, that's awful.
Another massive signal is an unusual increase in storage retrievals. So if your vector database reads suddenly spike, you likely have runaway memory growth.
What does that mean practically?
It means the agent is likely writing junk data to its persistent state and then expensively reading that junk data back into its context window on every single turn.
Okay, we've definitely outlined a pretty severe landscape here. Between the compliance risks of compounding hallucinations, the friction of this plain English explainability, and just the non-linear explosion of costs.
It's a lot to handle.
It is. I want to transition this deep dive from theory to the tactical playbook. What is the exact sequence of actions executives need to execute right now to regain control? Let's start with the immediate fire drill. What has to happen in the next 72 hours?
Your very first move in the next 72 hours is a complete architectural inventory.
Okay.
You cannot secure what you cannot see. So map out all current and planned usages of agent features across all your product lines. You're specifically hunting for any feature utilizing tool orchestration or active memory.
Makes sense.
And once identified, you must immediately implement temporary tagging.
Wait, you mean adding request metadata to the API calls, like a standard tag?
Yes, exactly. But the friction here, and this happens all the time, is that developers often tag the initial user request, but they fail to tag the subsequent autonomous calls the agent makes on its own.
Ah, so they lose track of the follow-up calls.
Right. You need to enforce a policy where every single substep and storage write inherits that original project tag, so you can actually trace costs back to specific feature flags.
And there's a human element to the 72-hour window, too. Specifically regarding incident response, right? Because
yeah.
If I'm on a tier two support desk, I'm used to debugging, you know, system up or system down issues.
Yeah, the classic IT problems.
Right. But how do I handle an escalation where the system is technically up, like the servers are humming, but the agent just booked that MRI in the wrong state and spent $20 in compute doing it?
See, traditional uptime metrics are basically useless for agents. To handle that kind of escalation, your incident teams require step-level observability dashboards.
So they need to see the agent's thought process.
Yes. They can't just look at a wall of raw JSON text. They need a visual timeline showing exactly where the agent deviated from the expected logic. Furthermore, you really need to establish new service-level agreements, SLAs, with your vendors.
Because it's a totally different ballgame now.
Right. What is your recourse when the API responds with a perfect 200 OK status, but the reasoning engine completely fails catastrophically? This requires entirely retraining your support staff to debug logic paths rather than just checking server connections.
Okay, that makes the 72-hour window incredibly intense but necessary.
Yeah.
Moving to the short term, like the 2 to 8 week window, how do we start building actual guardrails here?
So you move from inventory to sandbox experimentation. Take that representative user journey-like booking the MRI and run it through the agent in a totally isolated environment. You want to measure the practical cost multipliers.
So getting real numbers on it.
Right. You need to know exactly how many tokens and external call the worst case scenario is going to consume. And simultaneously, this is when you prototype that plain English explainability layer we discussed earlier.
So actually building out the system that translates the raw JSON into the what happened and why statement, complete with the provenance tag.
Yes. And crucially, testing whether that translation is hallucinating its own cover-ups.
Right, grading its own homework.
Exactly. But the most critical technical implementation in this two-week window is the cost kill switch.
A kill switch.
You need hard, unbypassable possession token limits and absolute caps on consecutive tool calls. If an agent loops three times, the system must forcefully terminate the process and hand it over to a human fallback.
Got it. So let's push out to the medium term, the 3 to 6 month mark. How do we turn these temporary stopgaps into standard operating procedures? Because I know builders tuning in are thinking, implementing things like API gateway feature flags for stateful systems isn't as easy as flipping a switch.
Yeah. No, it is incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
Because if an agent is halfway through booking a complex multi-step appointment and a cost spike triggers a central feature flag to just shut it down.
You just break the whole thing.
You leave users stranded in a totally broken state. So operationalizing governance means building graceful degradation paths. If the agent gets turned off, the systems just seamlessly revert to a standard non-AI web form.
Just a normal web form, yeah. And this is also where the observability needs to mature, right? Like hunting for hallucination markers proactively instead of just waiting for a customer complaint.
Exactly. You need telemetry that analyzes the agent's confidence scores in real time. If the agent is outputting disagreeing answers within its own internal chain of thought, that needs to trigger a critical alert immediately.
Wow, okay.
And you also must set internal data retention policies. Deciding how long you're going to keep these massive scrubbed audit logs is a major compliance decision. And most importantly, you need to mandate explicit auditable consent from users before allowing an agent to write their personal data into a persistent vector store.
Implementing these tactical steps definitely creates a solid safety net. But, you know, slapping alerts on top of a fragile system isn't really a long-term solution.
No, it's not.
The fundamental architecture has to evolve. I want to talk about how we survive vendor lock-in, because the gravity of these new agent platforms from the big vendors is incredibly strong.
It is. And the most dangerous thing you can do right now is wire your client application directly to a vendor's agent API. The long-term architectural shift requires moving to hybrid execution. You absolutely need to place a lightweight server-side controller between your user and the vendor's agent.
I sort of think of this like an air traffic controller. You know, you have queries coming in like airplanes, and this middleman sits in the tower deciding which runway they need to land on, rather than just letting the planes land themselves wherever they want.
That is the exact mechanism. Huh? This controller intercepts the prompt before it ever reaches the AI. It enforces your quotas. It can selectively inject necessary database context up front so the agent doesn't have to waste time and money searching for it.
Yeah, smart.
And it acts as a firewall, right? Sanitizing inputs for prompt ingestions and scrubbing outputs for potential data leaks.
And this air traffic controller model also allows for intelligent model roaming, which just seems like a massive cost saver. I mean, it feels incredibly wasteful to use a massive top-tier reasoning model just to figure out if a user is asking a basic triage question.
Routing is exactly where you regain your margins. Your controller should evaluate the complexity of the incoming task. Use smaller, cheaper, open-source models for routine classification, basic routing, or just harmless chit-chat.
Save the big guns for the big problems.
Exactly. Reserve the expensive, slow, high-tier reasoning models strictly for complex content generation or high-value decision points where advanced logic is absolutely undeniable.
But doing all of this, like building our own controller, routing our own models, managing our own vector databases for memory, it requires a massive mindset shift.
It really does.
Because dev teams are so used to going all in on an API ecosystem.
Yep.
When a vendor offers a highly specialized catalog of tools that only their agent can use, it is so tempting to just let them handle all the back-end complexity.
It is extremely tempting, but let me be clear, it is a trap.
A trap, yeah.
When you adopt vendor-managed memory or their proprietary tool catalogs, you are embedding their specific architecture deep into your application's logic. If that vendor suddenly changes their pricing model, deprecates a key tool, or slips on their security roadmap, you are trapped.
Because you can't just leave.
Right. You can't just swap out an API key to switch providers anymore. You have to rebuild your entire memory storage and integration layer from scratch.
So we really have to treat these vendor-specific agent features as temporary optimizations, not product foundations. We need to be continuously evaluating our portability and exit paths.
You have to own your infrastructure, build or buy a centralized provenance and explanation store, like an actual database specifically designed to export those audit-ready records entirely separate from the vendor's ecosystem.
All right, let's synthesize all this for everyone listening. AI agents represent a massive leap in what your product can do autonomously. They can manage incredibly complex multi-step processes and create these really proactive user experiences. But you can only capture that upside if you immediately control the blast radius.
And controlling that blast radius means enforcing step-level explainability, so you aren't blind to how decisions are made. It means implementing rigorous cost tagging and kill switches so you don't get destroyed by nonlinear billing.
Right.
And fundamentally, it means building that server-side controller so you actually retain architectural leverage over your vendors.
The core directive here is this. Do not cede control of your budget or your user's trust to a vendor API.
Knowledge is most valuable when applied. This playbook is really designed for immediate execution starting today.
Well, before we wrap up, I want to leave you with one final concept to mull over, something that builds on this idea of persistent memory and sanitizing inputs.
Okay.
We discussed how agents are actively retaining user state across sessions, storing data in vector databases, and automatically calling external tools. So consider this scenario. What happens when an agent's persistent memory is subtly poisoned by interacting with a compromised third-party API?
Oh, that is a dark thought.
Could the next massive cybersecurity threat be an attack that doesn't even try to brute force your database, but instead patiently and quietly alters an agent's long-term memory? I mean, it could subtly manipulate the agent's decision-making over months, convincing it to route data maliciously or approve fraudulent actions, all while appearing completely confident in its plain English summaries.
Wow. The attack surface of persistent memory is a terrifying yet highly realistic horizon that security teams really need to start modeling immediately.
Definitely something to keep in mind as you set up those storage alerts this week. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive on OpenClaw Daily. Take these tactical steps, run those sandbox experiments, and protect your workflows. We will catch you on the next briefing.